all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amaze us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread."
Thanks, Eva. Well, you see, the truth of Jesus' resurrection sounds incredible. And as you've heard, it was just as incredible to the followers of Jesus. Yet by the end of it, they could not deny the truth, and they were so excited to spread the news. And the spreading of this good news hasn't stopped since then. And what happens next once Jesus' closest disciples hear about this? Well, we'll continue on with the final part of this chapter right after Reverend Winston shares some of our upcoming events.
Oh, 1, 2, 1, 2. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Welcome to Easter Sunday at CCC. If you're new to our church, warm welcome to you. It's great to have you here. And I hope you're really blessed by being here this morning. So, just a couple of announcements. First one is about baptism. Baptism Sunday is the 28th of May. But if you're interested in getting baptized or just want to find out what it means to get baptized, then classes for baptism start next Sunday. Talk to me. I'll be running the classes and we will have them probably over lunch next week in one of the rooms. Come talk to me and I'll let you know which room.
Okay, so that's next Sunday.
The slide is about our picnic on Anzac Day, which is always an awesome day, a fun day. I love going to our church picnic. great food, potluck, if you can bring a dish to share. Otherwise, just come along and enjoy. There's always heaps and heaps of food. You can sit around, play with dogs, play sport, or just hang out and chat. Always good fellowship. But we do need some help to prepare for that day. Thanks to the Reach team for organizing the event. But they still need a volunteer to help bring some things to the park, gazebos, and foldable tables. So if you have a suitable car, I don't think you need a huge car for the, how big's the gazebos, you know? Like, just need a spare back seat boot for the foldable tables, chairs maybe, but if you've got something bigger, that'll probably help. But if you're able to, if you think you might be able to, please speak to Jade. Jade, can you just put your hand up so people know? Jade, and she will give you instructions on what to do. All right, so that's it for two announcements. Back to Hao Yi. Yep, thanks.
Thanks, Reverend Winston. We're all really excited to see all of you at the picnic and have a good time together enjoying this wonderful weather. Because if you see, church isn't really defined by the building, the music, or even the message. But church is actually a community who enjoys being with one another under the loving guidance of our God. We'll look at our financial partnership next, because it is essential to support our various ministries. Please consider contributing to the various funds, as the funds allow us to reach the world with the same good news that you'll be hearing about today. And for everyone who is new, please do not feel obliged to contribute. We're just really glad that you're here to share our joy. And of course, feel free to find out more from the links or the QR code on the slides above. Once again, to everyone who's visiting us here today, I'd like to extend a warm welcome. And as I've said, church is simply a community of people who help each other in love, and we hope to share our love of God with others. If you're here with us physically, you should have received a physical welcome form from the ushers, and we hope you can fill that in so that we can keep in touch. And if you haven't done so, you can also scan the QR code up here and do that online. And if you're visiting us online, there should be a link in the chat that takes you to the same online form. With that, the kids can now leave for Sunday school. Infants will be going to rooms 1 and 2, and primary will be rooms 7 and 8. But we'll be having the privilege of the year 7 and 8 join us in our service today. And as the kids make their way out, let's take this opportunity to say hi to each other. How's the week going? Share something that happened this week.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. Christ is risen.
All right, everyone, let's get back together. Easter Sunday, I think it cannot be understood without the context of Good Friday. And just on Friday, we looked at how Jesus was crucified. Well, this moment in history so transformed the world that we mark our calendars by it. We heard how darkness came over all the lands and how the earth shook and the rocks split. And Jesus died so that we could have an eternal life. But Jesus' crucifixion on Good Friday wasn't the end of it. Far from it. It was only the beginning. After all, everyone dies, and I'm sure you've seen more over-the-top deaths in any Korean drama. So what makes Jesus' death so different? Well, it's pretty much the fact that he rose again in a perfected body and fulfilled his promises to his disciples, and that is the basis of our faith. Well, let me paraphrase that promise from Matthew chapter 17, 22-23. When the disciples came together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day, he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. And it is this grief that the disciples were still dealing with when Jesus approached them after his resurrection. Can you imagine how they must be feeling? The pain and despair of losing Jesus, their teacher, and then the wonder and shock of seeing him again. What a transformation that must be. But before Reverend Winston shares the message, Uncle Jim will be praying and speaking to God on our behalf. And after that, Eva will conclude the chapter from the Bible, which describes the disciples' reactions on meeting Jesus face to face. And as you listen to Eva, it might be interesting to imagine if you would react the same way as the disciples did. But before that, let me hand it over to Uncle Jim.
Good morning and happy Easter. Christ is risen. Let me now lead you in congregational prayer. And let's read Psalm 24, verses 1. Wrong slide. Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2. No change. Okay. All right, we don't have that slide, so let me read it out to you. Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Come, let us pray. Lord, you are the rightful owner of this world and all who live in it, including us, because you are the one who created us and founded the world on the seas. And yet, in your love, you sacrificed your Son Jesus to die for us and rise again on that first Easter Sunday. You accepted his sacrifice, and we are now forgiven. Therefore, you are not only our Lord, but also our Heavenly Father. What an amazing privilege to be your sons and daughters. Thank you for that first Easter Sunday. We adore you and thank you. Please take a moment now to praise God quietly for Easter and for forgiving you. And if you have never done so before, this is a good time to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and receive forgiveness for your sins. Lord, the earth is yours and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. But as we look at the world now, it does not acknowledge you as the Creator and Lord. Therefore, this world is in a terrible mess. We pray for your mercy and love. At this Easter time, please show yourself as the loving God to the suffering people in Gaza, Ukraine, and Myanmar. And please remind all the world leaders that one day they will be accountable for their actions to you, the righteous judge who installed them. Closer to home, we pray for a fair and just election in 2 weeks' time. May the parties and people of your choice be elected to govern Australia in a more equitable and fair way. And even closer to home, we thank you for a peaceful and godly AGM last week. We thank you for what you are doing in our church, even if we don't notice it sometimes. May you continue to use the leaders and pastors to lead CCC for your glory in the community. We also pray for our brothers and sisters in the Mandarin and Cantonese congregations. Thank you that both are having baptisms today. And thank you that Mary Hart's mother is one of them after years of witnessing from Mary. May both congregations keep growing in their love for you. Lord, we often forget that we are one church, not three separate churches meeting at the same address. We now pray for our friends and family who have not yet accepted Jesus. May his victory over death at Easter become real to them. We also pray for young children who believe the true meaning of Easter Sunday instead of pagan ideas like the Easter bunny and Easter eggs. Heavenly Father, thank you again for Easter Sunday. May our lives this coming week really reflect our belief that Christ has risen today. We pray all this in the name of our risen Savior. Amen.
Luke 24, verses 36 to 53. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God.
Okay, let me encourage you to put your hand up if you need a Bible, first of all. It'd be great if you could keep your Bible is open. If you don't want a physical one, you can scan it on this screen here. I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Let's commit this time to God. Father, you are an awesome God, a God of great power. You conquered death. This morning we pray that you would help us, each and every single one of us, to search our hearts as we think about who we are before you and how we are living, what we are living for. Help us to consider what the resurrection means to us personally, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever thought, like, how amazing is life? How amazing is it to be alive? You know, when I'm not too rushed, I like to head to the coast somewhere. I used to have a favorite spot out near Maruba by the cliffs, and I just sit in a sort of an overhang bit with the bit of shade. And I just, like, look out to the ocean. And reflect, like, man, this is awesome. Incredible to be alive, to feel the air like blowing against you, to smell the seawater. It's amazing to be alive. It's amazing that we have life. Have you ever thought about that? The fact that we were even born. And from a little baby, we grow up bigger, stronger, smarter, hopefully, wiser, even better. And it's amazing to experience different emotions, hard emotions and joyful emotions, to go through ups and downs of relationships, to experience hurts and joys, and to go through challenges, some that rock us, hurt us, but others that stretch us, make us better. To be able to learn and solve problems and get through hard times. Life is pretty amazing when you think about it. Now, I get it that some of you, like maybe you think life isn't that amazing because it's difficult. And it is. Life is very difficult at times. But I want you to just think about the idea of life for a moment. That's what I want you to think about. That we live on this planet, in this universe of like zillions and zillions of stars. And somehow we are on this planet, this ideal planet that allows for life to exist. This ideal size of the planet, this ideal gravity, this ideal atmosphere, this ideal amount of water, this ideal amount of warmth and radiation from the sun. Everything is so precise in order to sustain life. It is incredible to think about that some people would even dare to think, oh, we're just here by chance. You know, somehow, like stars collided and through randomness out pops life. It's too intelligent, too precise to say this was a fluke. Life is amazing. It's amazing to be living, to breathe, to have brains that learn and experience and reproduce. Life is incredible. It's amazing that we can even be in this room and interact. Life is incredible, which makes death so intrusive, doesn't it? That somehow we live only for a short time, but then one day we die. It's over. Death is so intrusive. It interferes with everything. Why have life if at the end of it all, there's nothing? Death is so contrary to life. It's so final. It seems so pointless, which is why Easter Sunday is so important. See, Easter Sunday is the heart of what we Christians believe. It's not just the tradition of, you know, chocolate eggs and rabbits and stuff, but it's the event which changes everything. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But here's what's interesting. For the people who experienced the first Easter morning, it didn't start with clarity or joy, but it started with confusion, doubt, feeling abandoned, full of disappointment, fear. Yet by the end of this chapter we just read, everything changes. That fear and disappointment and confusion changes. Changes from where they were to this point of clarity. And that's what I want for all of us this morning. Clarity for you, for your life. What is it that you really believe? And what difference does it make in your life? And so the question I want all of you to ask yourselves this morning is this. What has this got to do with me? What has the resurrection got to do with me? What difference does the resurrection of Jesus make in your life? If Jesus really rose from the dead, what might that mean for your confusion, your doubts, your unbelief, your disappointments, your fears? Whatever it is, throw it in there. What if Jesus really did rise from the dead? Let's go through Luke 24 together and see how the risen Lord Jesus changes everything. So just 2 days ago on Good Friday, we stood before the cross and we remembered the agony, the darkness, the final breath. We heard Jesus cry, "It is finished." And then silence. That's what it seemed like. His dead body taken off the cross. He was embalmed. He was buried in the tomb, and they rolled this huge stone over the entrance of the tomb, and they set soldiers to guard the tomb so that the body could not be stolen or replaced. He was surely dead. Now you can imagine the disciples in that moment, and the women who'd followed him everywhere as well. Hope seemed buried with Jesus. The disciples, they scattered. The women wept, and it felt like it was the end. So what happened? Wasn't Jesus meant to be the King of Israel? They trusted in Jesus, and they dropped everything to follow him. What happened? You can imagine their grief, the shattered hope, the confusion in their lives at that moment. But then, come to the first Easter Sunday, the women, they go to the tomb, and they're expecting to see the dead body of Jesus. They're expecting that. Did you know that? They took spices in order to anoint the body. So they were fully expecting to see Jesus' dead body. But what do they see? The stone is rolled away and Jesus' body is not there. And instead, they're confronted by two angels, frightening angels. And this is what it says, if you're looking in your Bibles, verse 5. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, these angels, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." He is not dead. He is risen. And the angels remind them, "Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. This is what he said. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, be raised, and on the third day, be crucified, and on the third day, be raised again." Then they remembered his words. They remembered. The angels reminded them of what Jesus has already told them what would happen. How could they forget? Jesus had told them that they will be killed by the hands of men and be crucified, and on the third day, rise again. Jesus is not dead. He is risen. He is alive. And if he is alive, it changes everything. On Good Friday, they were confused, but we see by the end they have clarity. On Good Friday, their hopes were shattered, but now there is hope. And they were lost, but now they have purpose. And with this newfound purpose, what do the women do? They hear this good news. Jesus is alive. They believe and they run. And they run to the disciples and they tell the disciples, Jesus is alive. Now, how do you think the disciples respond? Well, we read it. They were skeptical. And if you're skeptical, then, you know, you aren't the only one. The disciples were skeptical. If you think this is ridiculous, how can a dead man be alive? Ridiculous. Well, you aren't the only one. I was once a skeptic. You know, in year 7, I got this Gideon's Bible. I know they still hand that out in school. I don't think they do that anymore. But when I was in year 7, they handed out these Gideon's Bibles. And I thought, what is this? I flicked through, I started reading it, and I thought, nonsense. This is ridiculous. How can a dead person come alive? You know? So I tossed it away. And I didn't believe. I thought Jesus, the Bible, was just a myth. Just a made-up story. Just a story about this so-called person who was a good person. And it's just an idea so that we could live a moral life, a good moral life. That's what I thought the Bible was, to be honest. Not real, not historical. I was a skeptic. But I wasn't the only one. In fact, Jesus' disciples, those that were closest to Jesus, they were skeptics as well. His disciples, they had doubts. They saw Jesus die, they saw him buried, and they thought, that's it. People do not come back to life. They die and they stay dead. Dead is dead. Dead is the end. And if you've ever had anyone close to you die, someone that you loved, the first thing that you wish for is why? You wish that they could be alive, right? Why did they have to die? Death seems so final. And that's what we all believe. That's what the disciples believed. And this is what we read in verse 11 as the women told them about Jesus being alive. In verse 11 it says, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like, what's the word? Nonsense. The disciples thought, nonsense. Dead people don't come back alive. That's nonsense. That's ridiculous. How can you believe such a thing? It was beyond the realm of logic, of what is reasonable. Dead people don't come back alive. And this is striking because these were Jesus' disciples. These were the men who walked with Jesus, who followed him everywhere, who heard him say incredible things. And they even saw Jesus, get this. They saw him perform all these miracles, but they even saw Jesus raise people from the dead themselves. And so here, they're like, still, they could not believe because dead is dead. The resurrection doesn't fit into the normal categories of logic. It is hard to believe. It seems impossible that it happened. So Peter, at least, we're told in verse 12, he thought, I need to at least check out what these women are saying. And so he runs to the tomb. He gets up, he runs to the tomb, he says, and bending over, it says, verse 12, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. So he's like, what happened? Still wondering, still not believing, still confused. To him, to Peter, it seems still so unbelievable. And it's not until Jesus appears to the disciples in the flesh that everything changes. That is when things start to click. That is when their confusion turns to clarity. Their hopelessness turns to hope, and their fears turn to purpose. And so what happens next is this beautiful scene that Eva helpfully read for us. The two disciples, they're walking away from Jerusalem to this place called Emmaus. They're probably very heavy-hearted, and their hopes are shattered. And listen to the words they say in verse 21. They're talking to Jesus. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. That's what they say to Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus, but they said, we had hoped Jesus was the one. Now, those are some of the most honest, heart-wrenching words in this chapter, I reckon. We had hoped. And if you've ever hoped for something and you've had that hope shattered, you know how that feels. We had hoped, the disciples say. They had put their hope in Jesus, that he would be the one to redeem Israel, they said. But they had misunderstood how Jesus was going to do that. They thought Jesus was going to be this revolutionary leader who would cause this uprising and overthrow Rome and restore Israel to its former political glory. But instead, now he died shamefully, brutally, treated as the worst of criminals, crucified on a cross. That doesn't happen to a leader deserving of greatness. And so their hope was buried along with Jesus. And I love this scene because we see in this scene how Jesus is both a counselor and a teacher. He walks with them and he listens to them. He listens to their broken hope, their shattered hopes. And then what does he do? He teaches them. He teaches them from the Old Testament, from Moses and the prophets, and he explains to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And when he broke bread, we read in verse 30, their eyes were opened, and that was the moment that they recognized who Jesus was. It was Jesus, and he is alive. They believed. They believed that something incredible has happened. Something they believed that was impossible a moment ago, but it's true. Jesus is alive. He was dead, but now alive. And then he goes on and he appears to the other disciples. And he says to them in verse 38, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? See, Jesus gets us. He hears us. He knows when we're troubled. He knows when doubts rise in our minds. He knows what's going on with the disciples. And he eats with them. And he opens their minds to the scriptures as well, to the rest of the disciples. And they too come to believe that the impossible has happened. That Jesus was dead and now he is alive. Do you believe that? What difference does the resurrection make in your life? That dead doesn't stay dead. That dead can come back to life. Imagine for a moment, I had fish last night for dinner. But imagine for a moment, I would have bought this fish from the market or something. But imagine I've brought a fish into this room and I plonked it on a table here. It's dead, right? And I say to it, live. What if the fish started to like flutter around and started to live? Like, what would you think at that moment? You think this is like incredible, right? This changes everything. Something dead, so dead, can live. It's not normal. This changes everything if it's true. And this is what happened. Jesus was dead. They saw him die. They buried him. They embalmed him. And yet he lived. He's alive again. And for the disciples, the resurrection changes everything. When we go and read the next volume of Luke, the book of Acts, we see how radically changed the disciples were. Absolutely transformed from timid, fearful, confused, doubtful disciples to courageous ambassadors of Jesus who would proclaim Christ with incredible clarity and without fear. They literally gave their lives proclaiming Christ. Why? Because they thoroughly believed that Jesus was dead, but then he rose from the dead. He was alive again. They believed that this is the one, that this is the Savior, that he is the Savior of the world, that he is the one who didn't just come to be this political king of Israel, but he came to be the king of the world, the one who would conquer sin and conquer death. He would defeat both sin and death. And take like Peter, for instance, like when you read the account of Peter, when Jesus is being brutalized and unfairly treated, and like what happens in that moment as he looks on? You see him three times, you know, denying Jesus, twice to this servant girl, and you think, like, why would Peter, like, you know, deny that in front of this servant girl? And it's because, like, he didn't believe. He was ashamed and he didn't believe, and he was the opposite of courage, right? And yet what happened afterwards is that he went on to proclaim Christ and lead thousands of people to Jesus. And he died for proclaiming Jesus, as with most of the other disciples. What would cause such a dramatic transformation? It's because they believed in the resurrection. What do you believe about the resurrection? Do you believe that the Bible is just a myth, a story to teach you how to live a good moral life? Or do you actually believe that Jesus did die on the cross for your sins and he rose from the dead? Do you actually believe that? If you believe that, then let me ask you what I asked you to think about at the beginning, and that is, what has that got to do with me? If the resurrection happened, it changes everything. It transformed these disciples, and it should transform you as well. It changes what is ultimate in our lives. This life is not the end. But there's life to come. It changes our purpose for what we live for. So if you've given your life to Jesus, I ask you this question: what if it really happened, and how are you living in response? And I challenge you to look into it if you haven't put your trust in Jesus. What if it did happen? What does it mean for your life then? But if it did happen, if Jesus is alive, then it changes everything. But if he's still dead in that tomb after the cross, and he's still dead, then let's face it, like, we all here in this room, we're wasting our time. Like, church is a waste of time. If Jesus is still dead, then we are, the world says Christians are the biggest fools, and that's true. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we are just chatting away about this thing that's not true. All this Easter stuff, it's just dust. But if it's true, if the resurrection is true, if you're convinced about that, and I'm convinced, I am convinced about it, I don't know about you, I'm convinced about it, and that's why I try and live my life in response. Live as if it is true. If it is true, the resurrection changes everything. It tells us that there is a God, that we are not alone in this universe, that there is a God who is real. It tells us that even in this present age, as we look on with all the mess out in the world, full of uncertainty, who knows what the tariffs are going to do? Maybe lead to a world war, who knows? Does it really matter? Not really, because this is what matters. The resurrection is what matters. It changes everything. We live in a world where when I look on, it seems that sin and selfishness seem to reign in this world. And if we're honest, we all, it's reigning in us too. We're all selfish. But if the resurrection changes everything, then we should be different. We don't live for this life. We don't live for wealth. We don't live for material things. We don't live for our own glory. But if the resurrection happened, what is worthy of how we live? How do you respond with your life to the resurrection? Are you living as if this is the only life? Or are you living as if there is another life to come? What is a worthy response? And I want to leave you with one word. And that word is mission. If the resurrection happened, then that word for you and me is mission. A mission to tell others what is truly important. That every single person should put their trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing else is more important. Because if the resurrection happened, sin and death is not the final word. That's incredible, isn't it? Sin is not ultimate. Jesus is. Death is not ultimate. Jesus is. Our job is not ultimate. Our wealth is not ultimate. Our desires are not ultimate. Our relationships are not ultimate. Jesus is. Death is not final. Death is not supreme. Jesus is. So what has the resurrection got to do with you? What difference is it making in how you live your life? So as you go away from Easter, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, don't be the same. Don't be the same. Don't go back to your old routine. Make Jesus your number one. Live with renewed purpose wherever you are. Whether you're in school, uni, work, retired to family, live with purpose. And I'll leave you with that word, be on mission. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your sacrifice, for the agony and shame and suffering that you endured for us on the cross. You took the punishment for our sin upon yourself. But because Jesus rose from the dead, that sin is crushed. It is defeated. It has been taken upon yourself. And the consequence of our sin has been taken away. And now we enjoy you, God, as the one who loves us and has redeemed us, has bought us with your very own blood. Father, you've not only done this for us, but you've done this for the world. Lord, use us, Lord, to help others to know what you've done on the cross through your death and in your resurrection, to bring salvation from sin and death. In Jesus' name, amen.